Hi, folks. Welcome to the next edition of Servers Crack. How are we all doing? We're here to talk about modernization again. How are you doing, gents? I'm Dave Anderson.
You're good. Hey Dave, hey Mark. Doing good, doing good. Another busy week. But yeah, looking forward to this one. Should be a good
Good.
conversation.
You can go on.
Yeah, all
So,
good.
anybody watching on YouTube, I have shared my screen. So I think we have been talking a lot about modernization in different events, on social with a few different kind of people writing books and stuff talking about modernization. It's definitely becoming bigger. So we were kind of having a discussion about how we think about modernization. And one thing that kept coming to mind for me was the idea of this framework, KNEFFIN. So maybe I'll just we thought we'd just maybe talk around this for a few minutes because I think it's an interesting. It's an interesting model. We came across this probably around maybe 10 years ago. There's a guy called Dave Snowden who created this framework. And now Knevin is a Welsh word. I can't remember what it means, but it's the spelling is CYNEFIN. And it's kind of pitched as a sense-making framework. Now, like any framework, I wouldn't be saying take this framework and apply it to your whole company and write it on all the walls. You know what I mean? Like any framework, you can overdo it. Safe, but no, I shouldn't have said that. But it's I find that especially as an architect, a really nice thinking model for me personally. Like I don't ram this down people's throats, but sometimes it's in the back of my mind that something's happening and you're kind of putting things in place. And they kind of very quickly describe it. It's for anybody listening, it's kind of there's four sections. They're not quadrants. There's four kind of sections, and they're really around kind of clear, which is when something is kind of fairly well understood. Complicated, where it's maybe it's understood by few. Complex, where there's lots of unknowns. And then there's a chaos, where we don't really know what's happening. And then there's a little section in the middle called confused. So if you don't really understand which section you're in, if you can't assess where you're in, if you're not aware of where you are, you're just confused. And certainly when you deal with situations, teams, whatever. It's sometimes very easy to kind of see, right, this problem or this situation. It's either, falls into one of those categories. And there's a whole bunch of stuff around like what practices should you apply when something's well understood and clear. There's very different practices you should apply if something is complex and like emergent. You know what I mean? And then there's different ways you can handle, and if you're a manager, there's different ways you manage if situations are in these. If there's a chaotic project, you do that very differently from a project that's like just things that we know well and we know how to do. Lots of nice kind of parallels, but before we get into it, to just ask both of you, like we've been kind of talking about this framework on and off for a long time. Any sort of high level thoughts?
Yeah, that's it. It's been very useful for the thinking tool and sense making tool. And I think, like, if you're going into a new area or a new team or just anything sort of new or novel to you, that act sense respond is really useful. What you're looking for there is feedback. You're looking for situational awareness. So one way of getting that feedback is to do something, and then sense what happens, and then respond appropriately. And once you get a good feel for it, you can move across then to, okay, I understand what's going on here a little bit. So now you're maybe more into complex. It's not quite you're not quite sure how things should go. So you're sending out your probes. You're trying to sort of sense what's happening, and then you are responding based on what those probes are giving you, what you're getting back. And it's more of a complex area. Complicated is where you understand the rules, you understand what needs to happen, but it is complicated. There may be multiple steps or multiple things that you would do to achieve an outcome. So you're sensing when's the right context for that, and then you're analyzing what you get back, and then you're responding appropriately. And then best practice is very much just it's very clear these are the best practices, and you're sensing when's appropriate to do that, put it into the right category of, oh, that applies now, and then respond with that. So it's something we think about quite a bit. So it's something complicated or complex is something we would say. I think I definitely agree with Mark. I'm definitely no expert in
can happen. But I mean, I always use it as a, how do you model complexity almost, So you do find yourself, and I think we've all found ourselves in chaotic situations. Maybe you're getting into an area of the org where something's happened and there's no logs, there's no instrumentation, or it's a really old application. What do you do? You've got to act. You got to take the steps that you know how to take. Build up awareness. Move yourself out of that chaotic kind of situation and begin to take steps to move it from chaotic through maybe around to complex. Or again, I think it's an evolutionary type thing as well, in terms of going from sort of high intensity type situations to no one to sort of manageable type situations. As well, I always kind of think of it in terms of, in software, it's nice to have different types of teams. So different types of teams you may have are comfortable working in the gray, or comfortable working in sort of situations where there's nobody telling them the answer. They're out and they're applying what they know, and they're trying to build up awareness and trying to take actions to, create outcomes that they can then be able to sense and respond to. And that's typically your empowered squads, your experienced teams, and those are, they're comfortable. I wouldn't say nobody's ever comfortable working in chaotic, but they've built up that, they've got experience and they know how to do it. And then again, you may have teams that are, good at working in the complex, and you may have different teams that are, better situated for your best and your, so again, you can organize around it,
So I thought maybe I know I wanted to talk about client cloud a wee bit, but I thought before we go there, I wonder just to make this really simple, should we maybe talk a couple of quick examples of each one? Just go through each of the four sections and have like just in a normal software development. I know just as well, I always thought, remember we had sessions with Liz Kuo, it's one of the kind of agile kind of leaders, and she had a great piece in one of her talks about how you can use Kinefin with agile teams. She had a lot of really practical advice. So I would maybe Google
Let's
some of
go.
Liz Kuo's agile talks. She talks about it. She's brilliant, really, really worth listening to.
That's a good
But
shout. Yep.
let's have a couple examples. I mean, so what's a good example of something that's happened? Well, I'll start off, maybe get this going, and you can maybe argue with me, but say something that's clear and there's best practice. I think something like maintenance or monthly release, you know what I mean? It's like something that within software, this is an understood area. We know what this is. Like there's been best practices document that there's probably fixed constraints around maybe time and budget, but or maybe performance. But maybe maintenance or monthly release is there is best practice. It's important. We know how to do it well. You can sense what's happening. You can categorize it because we've probably seen it before, and you can respond quickly. There's well-trodden paths with
Yeah.
monthly release.
No unknowns, very predictable. You can probably take traditional kind of methods of delivery around those spaces, and you're
And not to beat up on it, because like we've all done long stints in multi-release and maintenance. It's important. It's a great place to learn. Super important work. It'll never go away. And it's critical. That's where you earn your stripes as a software engineer.
And there should be standard documentation and run books, and just it's just you follow the process, follow the docs, follow the steps, and you should be good.
So how would you say complicated? I mean, complicated, something where there's good practice. I mean, could that potentially be maybe building a new component in an existing system?
Yeah, for me, that's kind of more your known unknowns, isn't it? So we kind of know we've got to, build, design a database, but we don't know what the structure of the DB is or what the data model of it is. But you need skills and ability to kind of work it out. Probably a basic example, but those sorts of things.
Well, it could even be that maybe you yourself have never done that before, but there's a guy in the next team who's a DynamoDB expert, and maybe you might ask him for an hour of his time to help you. So you kind of roughly what to do, but you maybe need an expert to help level you up. So it's something that has been done before, but you just haven't done it personally. So there's expertise around, but maybe you don't have it. So that's a good example of something that's complicated for you personally, but it's a solved problem. So like a database, new database table or component would be a good example. So then in the complex, a lot of people get confused with complicated and complex as two phrases. Don't want to get into system thinking or complexity thinking. It's not, let's not go there. Like, but complex could be something where you're working on a brand new project. It's something that's a brand new build. Is a company like we have not done this thing before. We're not even sure if it's possible. It may be impossible to do this thing. So no one's actually done it in the company. So the big thing here is that we don't know what good practice is because we don't really know what we're dealing with. So that's where you bring in the idea of probe. What can I do? And like I think we've all done this multiple times in our careers. Let's just put something in the probe and see what happens. So we learn what this thing is. And you might learn that it's not like Emma or Mike, we had something where we were trying to build something and we weren't sure. We put a probe in and the probe effectively failed. And we thought, let's not even do that. Do you know what I mean? So you need to learn to kind of figure, you need to bring something from complex back to complicated.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you're prepared to fail. It's safe to fail. You don't know what you don't know, and you're just trying things to go work it out. It is that probe sense response you've got up there on the page. So it's very exploratory in nature.
And that's your evolution in architecture where you're kind of working towards something you're keep going like. And then we were talking about having enabling constraints. Like, let's try and have some constraints that will not hit the wall, but we'll try and keep us kind of between the hedges. That analogy travels, but
That's one, like we talk about this a lot, but like things like the well-architected framework, things like using some of the cloud tooling to give you feedback and give you some responses so that you know you're on the right track. Are you secure? Is it performant? Is it reliable? Is it cost optimized? That's what you want to start seeing. So if you're doing something novel or new, at least there's some enabling constraints that will give you some feedback and some guidance on where to go next.
And obviously, I mean, I do think as well with Kinevin, you always want to try and bring complex over to complicated and then bring complicated down to kind of clear. But the funny one is always chaotic. So when I always think of chaotic, if you don't have your production support figured out, or maybe there's something happens that just brings you into it's mental. Like, we've all been in fairly serious production incidents before where something happens and it's just chaos. Do you know what I mean? And it's like get on the phone, get on Slack. Like, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah, there's no logic in chaotic is kind of the way I think of it. It's the you can't predict anything. It's you've just got to get on with stuff. It is just seeing what happens, going with the flow.
And that's it. You need more information. So doing something hopefully gets you a bit more clarity on, well, what happened when I did this thing? All right, okay, I can see stuff now. Okay, what if we do this other thing? And then, all right,
Just
now,
random.
and now you realize, oh, there's a memory leak, or there's a threading it, or whatever, right? But you have to make it. Yep. If nobody, if everyone's running around going, we don't know what's happening, we don't know what's happening, doing something is sometimes the only option you have, and that's what you do.
And we've all been in bridge lines where you're effectively quarterbacking. You're like, right, can someone try this? Right, what happened? Nothing. Right, okay, it's not that. Can someone try this? Oh, that didn't work. Right, and you're almost probing the figure. So you're trying things to probe, then reduce it down, and then just build understanding. And you have to do that kind of quickly. That's where you want your kind of technical leaders to step in and kind of drive, especially if it's like a production incident.
And I think a lot of stuff around this is context is key here, because what may seem chaotic to you and your org or your team, there may be another team who just come in and go, oh, that's there's best practices around resolving these things, and you're just not aware of them, or you just don't understand them, or you just don't have that experience or expertise within your
Well,
context.
SRE, I mean, if you've, and I said production support maybe for some areas, for some companies will be very good at production support and have a really mature SRE practice. So a production incident is not chaotic. It's actually quite clear. There's best practice of what you do, very controlled, if you're operational excellence.
Yeah, so I think we say this a lot, but you gotta lead with context. You gotta understand the context you're applying this in, and your context. This may look very different from even a team to a team in your organization.
And you're organizing your yeah, sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Sorry, and then the confused state is like, I would just to be simple, it's a brand new hire who's joined the team, and they're like, I don't know what's happening. Do you know what I mean? They're just in a confused state for a while. If you've been there for a couple of years and you're confused, well, that's really not a good place to be.
Yeah, you can go through all states. You can experience them all in a short sequence of time, or there's conflict between the various kind of different departments or different teams.
Yeah. So I'm probably closing out, probably. I mean, if you think about cloud modernization and cloud, and especially with teams doing this, like I always think if you have a team kind of on-prem, like maybe they've been on-prem in their data center for many years, they know everything works, everything's well documented, there are constraints, we know the best practice, it's an understood area, but that's when you're kind of rock and roll. And that can often be a nice steady state before a cloud migration. I don't know if this is the right sort of analogy, but we'll go with it. Complicated, I always think that's when a company first moves to the cloud. It's very new. There are good practices about, but you just haven't done it. You're going to learn maybe from your cloud vendor or from some consultants. There are governing constraints that are different around security, reliability, cost. You got to learn what those things are.
Shared responsibility model, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you're in different environments. It's not your environment. You can't just call some guy and go down and switch a machine on. So there are some constraints that are, yeah, the fact that you don't own the hardware is a good one. So that is complicated, but then it's an understood problem. I think a lot of companies who go through their migration, they're in that complicated space. I don't know if this is fair, like, but I think then when companies start to modernize, like writ large, it's a more of a complex thing because you're starting to break together your large system. Now, I think this is different for brand new companies building from greenfield, but let's just say it's a company with the existing software, mature software stack. You
Yeah,
got
I
any?
think.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was agreeing. I think like when you're in that space, you know, there's a lot of unknown unknowns, you know. So if you're kind of breaking up your monolith and you're trying to maybe go towards sort of modern application architecture, there's lots of things there for you to, you know, examine and, you know, and line up, and then even all the environment around it, you know, like so there can be a lot of unknowns there for folks.
And sometimes you're working on a system that was a very well designed system 10 years ago with a really solid monolith that's been running well, making an awful lot of money. But the people who wrote it, they're all gone. And you're kind of looking after the system. You understand it well enough, but you don't really know what's going to happen when you start to crack it apart because there might be hidden dependencies in there. Whatever, maybe you're not 100% on the tech stack. So it's always a challenge. Breaking that, and you're bringing the complex over the complicated as you try and modernize. And you also may not be aware of the more modern kind of tool set around serverless or containers, or whatever. Maybe there's things that you don't, little gotchas you don't know in those tech stacks.
And it always goes back to be if you know what it is, you know, like you were saying, you know, the on-prem is maybe in the complicated, and you know they're kind of known unknowns, and you build your org around that, you know, and you build your teams and your skill sets and you organize around that, you know, like so if you're on a planning and going to like a modern cloud modernization, you would then acknowledge you're in a complex scenario and you would look for teams and people that are comfortable with unknown unknowns. You would organize, you would plan for, you know, and you would look at your working practices and your methods and your approaches, and you'd tailor it, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I
it's a
like to
bit
think
like
so.
your pioneer settler town
Town
planners.
planner, that's exactly what I was thinking.
You want your town planners over in kind of clear and best practice, and maybe grinding through stuff, keeping stuff moving. Like, and your pioneers up doing the complex stuff, who aren't afraid to not know the answers, but are prepared to probe and try and figure stuff out. Interesting. I think there's so many models around that kind of those three phases. We could round them off, but we won't. But
Would you want your hero engineers in the chaotic?
don't
I
think
don't
I'd
know
want
if
hero engineers at
cheeky.
all.
Yes, exactly. It's the point I'm making.
They're used to being confused.
Yeah, probably confused.
I don't like hero engineers because they don't tend to write any documentation.
No, they embrace chaos.
Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe your hero engineers live in the chaos section.
They gravitate towards it.
Cool. Lots of crack. And any closing comments? I always like that wee framework. I like the way it's sense making because I think that's a lot of time you don't really know what you're dealing with.
I think if things aren't making sense, maybe you've moved across one of these boundaries without realizing it. What you thought was clear, best practices applied. Sometimes you've slipped into something mad's happened and you're now in chaotic, but you haven't even realized it yet. Or you've gone from complicated to complex and you haven't realized that your techniques and processes and practices that worked yesterday won't work today.
That's a very good point. Sometimes you'll see a leader, a technical leader, who think we're in clear and there's best practice, there's fixed constraints. This is the way we've always done it, but the situation is actually complex, and they're applying what were good techniques in the wrong section or sector, and that can be have disastrous outcomes.
And then I would just add, I think it's an awesome thing for modeling your complexity and thinking about complexity and how you want to organize around it. So it can be a nice tool and a nice kind of way to have those conversations and to shape them conversations and drive outcomes.
For sure. Lots of crack. So that's Kinefin. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. We'll put it on obviously this theservicesage.com. Give us a follow on Twitter or subscribe on YouTube and let us know what you think. Thank you very much.
Take care, everyone. Thanks. Bye.